Hello, everybody. Hey, it's Cal Banyan, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. And you know what? If you're watching this anywhere except calbanyan.com, you got to go there now because there's cool information down here, links and additional texts and that kind of stuff you'll want to be able to look at as you watch the show. So, hey, Celeste, what's up?
Hello. Hello, all you hypnotists out there. Thank you for tuning in. You know, you should write us every now and then. Don't just be watching and not saying hello. You got to say hi sometimes and tell us what you think of the show and give us some ideas for some things that you might want discussed on the show. I'm in Dallas, Texas, just sitting here. Cal and I are about ready to embark on a Hypnosis, Etc. program that is going to be very excellent. It's about working with people who have drug addiction, actually. So welcome to Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. I'm Celeste Hackett.
Hey. Good job, Celeste. You know, a lot of people don't realize you're in Dallas, Texas. I'm here in California. Thanks goodness for digital technology and the internet. And we have Chad, one of our IT guys. He puts it all together into a great show.
Episode 80-something now.
Oh, God, yeah. We might even be 90-something by now.
Ooh.
Hey, I'm feeling old. How about you?
Yes, Cal. Yes. And to see yourself change on video just within 1 year, kind of interesting. Hey, how many viewers do you think we have?
I don't know, but up there in the left-hand corner up there, there is a map. And every few months that map refreshes and it has little red dots. You click on it and you know what? You'll see little dots and medium-sized dots and big dots. And it shows where all of our viewers are around the world.
Yeah, we have viewers all around the world. And, you know, we don't really speak directly to you that often, but wherever you are, thanks so much for tuning in. We do this for you. That's why we're here.
That's right. We've got tons of viewers in Asia, Africa, the Middle East. We've got Europe, even Russia. But we've got no viewers in Cuba. That's one of my goals. One day I want to open that map and look at it and see a nice little dot.
Someone in Cuba, watching this or as show I say, Cuba, over there.
Wouldn't that be fun?
Yeah.
I want to go to Cuba.
I want to go too. I hear it's just awesome. They still have like some really old cars and stuff like that from what I've heard that you don't see over here much anymore.
That's right. Great jazz music, cigars.
Oh,
food.
That's why you want to go, the cigars.
That's right. Hey, let me just say real quick, I just get through a whole bunch of stuff real fast because we got so much information to get into this show. Check out our affiliate program on hypnosis.org. Check out classes on hypnosiscenter.com. That's it. That's enough. Enough of a commercial. You've got a huge question for me to work on, Celeste.
Yeah, let's just bite right into it. Associates Hypnotherapy wrote to you, Cal, and she said, I am asking for help. I'm a consulting hypnotist who's worked with a wide variety of issues over the last 6 years, and her clients have achieved great success. Congratulations. But now she says she is faced with a challenge. She says, a challenge I haven't worked with before. It's a client wanting to use hypnosis to battle heroin addiction. Now, the biggest part of the challenge is that it's a family member. Please, whoever has actually worked with this, can you help a mom? How does she write this? Can you help a mom help her child? Anyway, I'm just reading it right as she wrote it.
Good. Thank you. You know, I remember seeing this. I thought it was such an important question that I sat down and I wrote up like the first 10 things that I think you really have to keep in mind whenever you're working with this kind of stuff. You know, I've worked with heroin addiction, cocaine, crack, pot, benzodiazepine derivatives. I mean, everything from downers to uppers. So I've got kind of a list here. And number one on the list is before you do anything, make sure that it's legal for you to be working with any kind of addiction issues where you live. And Celeste, you've done that, haven't you?
I actually haven't done a lot of work with drugs in the state of Texas, because all I'd ever heard is that in the state of Texas, you really shouldn't do that. It's illegal. You got to refer them to a licensed drug counselor and so on. And I had wondered about that. So recently I wrote to Scott Giles, and of course he's the person who knows all this kind of stuff. He's the legislative and governmental concerns liaison for the National Guilds of Hypnotists. And he wrote me back, and he said that, you know, you do need to get a referral from a drug and alcohol counselor, and you can use hypnotism. You cannot use hypnotism to treat addiction without being a licensed addiction professional yourself. But he says that you can work with the issues related to the addiction, and examples would be distraction from craving, control of withdrawal symptoms, mood improvement, helping the client reestablish self-control, and helping the client repair relationships by control of habitual emotional responses and that kind of stuff. So basically, you can work with these individuals. You do need a referral. And he, you know, if anybody in the state of Texas wants this information that Scott sent to me, I'll be happy to send it on to you. Just email me at CelesteHackett.com, because there seems to be some confusion here in Texas about this, Cal.
Well, you know, I think there's confusion everywhere about this. So what you got to do, wherever you're at, be it Thailand or Singapore or Mexico, you know, wherever you are, make sure it's legal that you even do the work. Heck, if you're in jail, you can't do anybody any good, right? Or if you get sued, and then, you know, you can't afford to do the practice anymore. So, you know, first thing, make sure that it's legal where you're at. Now, let me move on to number two. Number two, I've typed up these things, so I'm going to see if I can read today. When working with individuals who are abusing or addicted to drugs, such as heroin and others, which can have very strong withdrawal symptoms, always work with an addiction professional so that it's done safely. For examples are, you know, licensed addiction counselors, psychologists, appropriate medical professional. You're going to find that in most cases, the people who that come into the hypnotist's office are usually not abusing to the point where if they stop, that they're going to have, you know, experience a life-threatening medical condition. But you can always err on the side of caution and send them to a addiction specialist or a physician to have them checked out first. But for example, if it's something that's being done very intermittently, then they're stop and go, they quit and they start again, and they quit and they start again. This person is, you know, not someone who's dosing themselves constantly. Then it's not a life-threatening situation if they stop, because they're stopping on and off all the time anyway. But when in doubt, get a medical referral. Have some of them checked out by a doctor. They probably already have a treatment team. Have the treatment team refer them to you and be part of it. So that's number two. Anything you want to add to that?
No, I'm just listening. I'm all ears.
Okay. Before you work on anything, be it a drug addiction, alcohol addiction, or nail biting, make sure that you have proper training. So that's number three. Make sure your hypnosis skills are up to task. You'll need to be able to do this kind of work. You need to be able to reliably induce somnambulism. And so you, at the very minimum, you need to know how to induce and test for somnambulism, and then begin to do the emotional work that's necessary to undo the cause of the problem. And so let's just jump in anywhere. I'm going to try to get through all this stuff in our short period of time, but if you got something you want to add, just jump right in, okay?
Okay, that sounds good.
Number four, some clients who've abused drugs and alcohol may have significant brain damage and be unable to concentrate well enough to do the work. And these people should not go through the process, because without this ability to concentrate, they're not going to be hypnotized, and they won't benefit from the process.
You know, Cal, you asked me to jump in, so I think I will right here. You know, when we did that list of people that you don't want to work with, or clients that you might turn away, this could be added to that list.
Right. If the person just doesn't have enough ability to like carry on a coherent conversation with just kind of floating off or getting confused, saying strange things, then you're not going to be able to maintain or create a level of hypnosis and maintain, you know, somnambulism with this person. And what you're going to do is you're just going to refer them back to their medical professional or addiction counselor and tell them that, you know, hypnosis may not be right for them. It's kind of difficult sometimes to turn people away, but I've had to do that in the past, working with people with who have a really an intense experience with alcohol abuse or, you know, huffing. That's where they use inhalants. This can be very damaging to the brain, and they just don't have the ability to become hypnotized because of lack of concentration, cognitive ability, and that kind of thing.
In your experience, do any of these people ever get their brain function back so that at a later date, over time, if they're not using, are they capable of then being able to do something like this? Or,
what the books say on this is that once a brain's really been significantly damaged in adulthood, recovery is very, very slow. So there, some recovery can be experienced, but it depends on the level of damage. Children and infants who have brain damage can sometimes recover remarkably because the brain is still in that developing stage. But once you're an adult and you have this some either a physical or chemical kind of brain damage, it can be a really slow process, and sometimes with the, you know, like huffing, it's such a terrible thing to do. The brain damage can just be permanent.
That's good information to have on hand as a hypnotist who might get that call one day, might have to work with some of these people or get a referral, might you know, be face to face with somebody like this. I'm glad to have this information, and I'm going to make this one of the things that my students watch. Here in Texas, we need more information on how to work with drug addiction and alcohol addiction and how to do so properly.
Yeah. Hey, you know, as you're saying that, it reminds me of something we mentioned in a previous podcast. You know what's really great is if you're teaching classes or if, like, you have NGH chapters or other kinds of practice groups around the country, then one of the things you can do is you can just simply get together and view one of these things and discuss it, or if we mention a technique, practice it. And it's, you know, if you're kind of thinking, what are we going to do this week or this month with our chapter group or with, you know, our practice group, then, hey, just play one of these podcasts, and there you go. You got something to work on.
That's an excellent idea. The NGH chapter group here in Dallas is always looking for speakers or something to do.
Let me be your speaker. Just put the computer up there, push play, and I'll be your guest speaker. I'm happy to do it.
Me too.
Number five, speaking of benefits, I'm going to talk about something a little bit nicer now besides brain damage. I have make sure that the would-be client can generate a substantial list of benefits for overcoming the problem. If they cannot, then they may not be motivated enough to be successful. Sometimes people get pushed into it. They'll drag their mother, father, sister, brother, cousin in and say, please fix them. And gosh, if the person isn't motivated, if they can't see, you know, if they can't create like a list of 5 to 7 benefits of overcoming their drug, alcohol, addiction problem, whatever it is, it could even be like pornography addiction, sex addiction, shopping addiction, workaholism, and stuff like this, then you're going to really have a hard time. So make sure this is something that they really want to do. Number 10, survey said, that's a different show. You need to recognize that the reason people return to drug use, you need to know why people return. Most people you've seen, they've quit the drug, they've come back, they've quit, they've come back so many times. That a very big component of why they return to drug and alcohol abuse is that they're using the drug or alcohol as a self-medication or as a distractor, as I talk about in the book, The Secret Language of Feelings. And you can go to thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. There's a shortcut, tslof.com. And for more information about the secret language of feelings. But what happens, it's the scenario of feel bad. They might be anxious. They might feel guilty. They might be angry, lonely, whatever it is. And rather than respond to that feeling in a satisfying way, what they do is they do the drug or they do the other behavior that takes their mind off of this feeling that's inside that hurts, takes them away from that internal experience, and they're able to feel better for a short period of time.
By the way, the Secret Language of Feelings link is right down there, so you can click on it. Make sure you visit that site. It's going to help you so much in your sessions with any too much behavior.
I've got some free audio podcasts there, too, where I talk about it. And I know hypnotists all over the world are sending people to that site so that they can learn about the secret language of feeling. Some people actually give their clients the book, and some people, they just have them listen to some of those podcasts. If you're going to any of my classes, either the Week of Power or our certification course, it's required listening. Before you come to the class, you need to listen to those audios on thesecretlanguageoffeelings.com. Do you have your students do that, Celeste?
Well, yes, Cal, absolutely.
Good. All right, number 7. How are we doing on time? Good. Direct suggestion alone is insufficient in helping these people. You will need to be able to use much more powerful techniques such as age regression and parts work. Of course, I recommend 5-Path. You can find out more about 5-Path at hypnosiscenter.com. Also, 7-Path self-hypnosis is something that your clients... Whenever I can, I integrate 7-Path self-hypnosis with the 5-Path work that I do. Now, 5-Path is the hypnotherapy that I do or hypnotism work that I do with them one-on-one in my session. But I also teach them 7-Path because in between sessions, they're able to do this hypnosis work to remove the internal pain and the limiting beliefs that they have that are causing the problem. And instead of just giving the person a fish and feeding them for a day, I teach them how to fish and they can feed themselves for life. By teaching our clients self-hypnosis, it enables them to, you know, be on their own and be successful for the rest of their life.
Another great thing about 7-Path is it's another thing that someone can do instead of do the behavior of doing drugs or alcohol. And it's something, you know, because they're going to be looking for other things to do instead. And if they can do 5-Path for 5 minutes to get them past an urge, and my clients do that all the time whenever they have other too much behaviors that they're doing or any too much behavior that they're doing, they'll take a few minutes, they'll do some 7-Path, and then they're able to redirect themselves in another way. So it's really important.
You know, and it's not just Celeste's opinion and my opinion. We've got trained, certified 5-Pathers, 7-Path teachers around the world that are using this on a variety of things, from what appears to be the simplest thing like nail biting all the way up to some of the most problematic things such as heroin addiction and all these kinds of things. So it really does work, and gosh, I don't know what else to say about it except go to the next one. Number 8, you should not attempt to do therapeutic age regression work and other insight-generating techniques which uncover the cause of the emotional pain with family members and friends. It is best to refer them to someone who will not be entering into a dual relationship with a family member of yours. I know this is part of the question. The person asks the question, it's a family member. And, you know, you can do some direct suggestion work with that individual, but typically that's just not going to be enough. You know, I'll pray for your family member that if that's what they're going to get from you, then that will work and it will help them. But by and large, we need to do this deeper uncovery work, neutralize the emotions, change the belief system in a more positive and realistic way. And you shouldn't do that with your family members, and here's why. You're going to have one of two negative outcomes, generally speaking, when you work with people you know and love. One, if you're doing this uncovering work, in other words, finding out the source of their pain and their negative beliefs, what happens is when you're in hypnosis, you can lie. When you're in hypnosis, you can refuse to do things. And so what happens is if this individual doesn't want to tell you about something that's vitally important for it to come up in the session, because he doesn't want to ruin his relationship with you. See, your previous relationship, it might have some value, probably does have value to the family member or friend. And they're afraid that if they uncover this very personal, painful thing, it'll tarnish the relationship. And so they may not let that information out that would be vital for the change to happen. And so for that reason, we recommend that you don't do this kind of work. So that's reason number one. Reason number two is, let's say the person says, I so desperately need to be well that I'm going to, you know, relive or revivify this event in front of my friend or my family member, and it's so embarrassing. It's such a secret, and they finally let it out. And then what happens is, after that, yes, you did wonderful work with them. They may experience a wonderful change in their life, but now they avoid you. Now your friendship or your family relationship with this person may be, you know, tarnished forever. They don't want to be around you. They feel uncomfortable. And so you lose the friend, or there's distance created between you and the family member. So it's highly recommended that you don't do this kind of work with anyone that you have an ongoing relationship with. Anything you can add to that, Celeste?
No, that's great. And, you know, it's great for a client to come in and see you and then be done with you and know, you know, they never have to see you again, most likely, just for that very reason.
Right, right. Good. Number nine, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction is complex. It's common for these people to not be truthful with you. You need to know what you're doing, and you need to be directive with your clients when necessary. Sometimes you have to be able to say, look, I think you're giving me a line of BS here. It just doesn't make sense. And you know, the people who are best trained and able to do this work are people who have a background and training in alcohol, drug abuse, that have been, you know, either been there themselves or have had professional training and then go on to get five path, you know, advanced hypnosis training, that kind of thing. So you really need to know what you're doing. You need to be able to be directive. I mean, you know, lay it on the line with individuals. It's best if you can be a member of a treatment team with this person. If a person is really, you know, a heroin addict, an alcohol abuser, alcoholic, whatever, you know, if you could be part of a treatment team, that's the most ideal situation, where they're getting the same message from their social worker, from their psychiatrist, from their family, this kind of thing that you're working on with them in your sessions. That's the best way to go. Let's be professional about that. And number 10, know how to identify and work with secondary gain issues. This will be an issue in most cases. How to work with secondary gain issues is part of standard five-path training. If this person has been abusing alcohol or drugs in a long-term way, in a substantial way, you know what? They're probably getting some kind of support because of it. They may have an income because of it. There may be lower expectations of them because of it. And so when they become well, what happens is it destabilizes their you know, life to some degree. Now they might be expected to get a job. They may lose some income. They may lose some social support. You know, the identity of, you know, I am an alcoholic, or the identity of I am a drug abuser. They've got to create a new circle of friends. And what's secondary gain? Secondary gain is there's some benefit from having the problem. And if you lose the problem, you lose the benefit. And when you're working with people who've been in treatment or institutionalized or receiving some, have been identified as being disabled in some way, you're almost always going to have to work with that secondary gain. And that's you know, all part of the course for five pathers. The fifth phase is a type of parts work that is designed to work with that.
Yeah, secondary gain is kind of like, you know, they're gaining something else from having this problem. But when I think about secondary gain, it makes it more clear to me if I think really it's all about loss, because they know there's something they might lose a lot of times, you know. And then that kind of helps you put it in the perspective. And so you have to help them through that. And what we do is parts mediation therapy. Very, very effective.
Beautiful. That's it. Hey, Celeste, we did it. We got through all that information. 10
Yay.
Points in one doggone episode.
Yeehaw!
Hey, congratulations.
Yeah, congratulations to you. You took the lion's share this week.
Hey.
Okay.
Yeah, you almost got a day off.
Yeah, I almost did. Thank you.
All right, why don't you wrap it up?
All right, everybody. This is Celeste Hackett in Dallas, Texas for Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, Etc. with me, Celeste Hackett. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time.
All right, and this is Cal Banyan. Check out the affiliate program. Check out my secret weight loss program. Check out my courses. Good place to go is hypnosis.org, O-R-G, because we organize hypnosis for you. And that's it. Signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.